A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Erevin Tzadiches, Erevin 98, pagination 195. I'd like to discuss today a number of cases regarding the honor of Sfarim. The Gemara over here seems to be a Gemara of little application. At first glance, the Mishnah on the facing page over here, Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis, 97b towards the bottom, seems to be talking about scrolls, Sfarim in the form of scrolls, and he was learning from it, and one side fell out of his hand, and the other side is still in his hand, so you have this scroll unraveling along the wall of the building. And it seems like a very unlikely case. Firstly, we use a Sefer Torah. It's well inside the building. Never saw anybody use a Sefer Torah next to the edge of a building where it could, chas v'shalom, roll off. And it just seems to be a very far out example. So yes, in their time, they used to have all of their Sfarim in the form of scrolls. But still, that was for their time. It doesn't seem to have much application for us. I'd like to share with you, hopefully if we have time, four cases, which I believe can be applied in some degree to our time. And I'm not so focused on halacha lemaisa right now, whether this is the final ruling in each one of these cases, but certainly to realize how proofs can be extrapolated from the text that we're working with. So I'd like to start actually turning a page back to Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, 97a, and at the bottom of the page, about 10 lines from the bottom, there's a case over here called Machshech Alehen Umevion. That when a person finds tefillin in this case, he should just stay there until it's dark, from the word choshech, machshech, he should stay there until it's dark after Shabbos, and then he should bring the tefillin. And the Gemara asks, Ve'amai, why is that? Le'ai linhu zug zug, why don't you wear one pair at a time and get them out of this bizayon, this disgrace where the tefillin are lying over here? Om Rav Yitzchak Berei de Rav Yehuda, he explained, L'didi mefarsha lemine da'aba kol she'ilu machnisen zug zug, if you could do one pair at a time and get them into the building, v'kolos kodom shkia sachama, and you'll achieve your goal before sunset, so that sometime during Shabbos you will have solved the problem. Machnisen zug zug, then we expect of you that effort to walk one pair at a time into the building while you're wearing it. V'ilow, but if you can't get them all into the building before Shabbos is over, then machshech aleihem u'mevion, then we tell you, you don't even have to bother taking one pair, two pair, three pair, how many can you salvage? Instead, just stay there and bring them all together at the end. Now, it's very interesting, because certainly you could take one pair at a time, wearing them, make the effort, and at least get those out of a bizayon. Imagine if this was an ethical question regarding people's lives. And I tell you, the 10 people in Sakana, I can shuttle one at a time out of the danger. And then, when I get the big boat, I'll be able to get the rest. Presumably, we would tell you, get one out at a time out of danger as soon as possible, and when the big boat comes, we'll rescue whoever's left. But that's not what the Gemara says over here. The Gemara recognizes your tircha, your effort, and basically is saying, as we would say the expression, you don't have to make yourself crazy if anyway you're not going to be able to solve the overall problem. There's still going to be some pairs of tefillin left in Bizayon, and therefore you don't have to even bother. You could just wait until after Shabbos and then do a normal solution, which is carry them all at once. There's an interesting shaila that's asked if a shelf in a bookcase of Svarim breaks, and all the Svarim come piling out onto the floor, are you allowed to pile the Svarim one on top of the other on the floor and then lift them up together, which is certainly a more effective overall method of getting the Svarim out of Bizayon quickly? Or you're not allowed to pile Svarim on top of Svarim lying on the floor, and you have to grab as quickly as you can, one at a time, get them off the floor, and if your hands are full, so put the Svarim down and come back for more. But there's no room for Chachma Usivuna Neged Hashem. There's no room to decide that you're going to pile them up on the floor, even though you want to, because overall it's a better solution. This Gemara would seem to be at least a suggested proof in the direction of allowing you to do the piling on the floor, because that's a more effective method. And even if this is not a final proof, but just to get us thinking, the Gemara here is recognizing the entire unit regarding your tircha, and is recognizing that you're not obligated to go shuttling one at a time if the overall unit is not really going to be solved. And therefore, it does seem from this Gemara that even though some of them will remain, I'm not telling you to put Svarim on the floor, but to leave Svarim on the floor, since the overall unit will benefit as a result and you'll get them out of the Bizayon faster, it would seem to be at least a suggestion as a possible proof. Turning the page also on yesterday's daf, the Mishnah on the bottom of the page has this case that I explained where a scroll falls along the side of a building. And the discussion over here is if there's shavus, if there are isurim dirabanan in a place of bizayon kisvei kodesh, in a disgrace of holy scrolls. So even though this case seems to be far out, but the fundamental question is going to remain the same. Do rabbinics still hold force if they are causing a problem that we're not able to solve, the bizayon of Svarim? Coupled with that would be the question of whether our Svarim printed have the same halacha as their Svarim in scroll. But essentially the question would be, if you found a sefer, you might find a Tehillim on the floor somewhere, near a bus stop or something, someone lost it, can you figure out a solution, if it's only a rabbinic violation, to get that Tehillim off the floor and into a building? And again, even though the case that the Mishnah is giving was very practical, perhaps in their time, and very far out to us, but the fundamentals are definitely the same, and would help us deciding how much of a violation would be acceptable to save Svarim. Moving on to today's daf, Tzadiches Samad Aleph, towards the bottom of the page, the Gemara over here considers what could go wrong if we allow you to scroll in, how do you like that wording, if you reel in the scroll that fell into Rosh Hashanah, but you're still holding the other side. What could go wrong? What risks do we have? And one of the opinions that's considered over here, if you were to retrieve it, let's say after you left go and it's totally in Rosh Hashanah, what would the risks be? According to the opinion of Ben Azai, Ben Azai holds Mahalich Ka'omei Dami. A person, when he walks, is constantly considered at a standstill as he walks, each step that he takes. So he walks across the threshold. That threshold becomes an interruption between the Rishus HaRabim and the Rishus HaYochid. asks the Gemara, okay, according to Ben Azai, there's a separation between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid. But what would happen if he were to throw straight across? The Omer Rabbi Yechanan taught us, Moda Ben Azai Bezorik. Ben Azai agrees by throwing that there is no interruption. Even though it goes through the ear space of the threshold, it's not considered having rested there. And that would be a Shabbos violation if you threw from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid to send the Sefer back where it fell from. Amar Rav Acha bar Ava Zosa Meres, this is a proof. It becomes clear to us that Ein Mizarkin Kisvei Kodesh, you're not allowed to throw holy scrolls. You find sometimes at a Shabbos table, when people pass out the benchers for Birchas Hamazon, so sometimes they throw them, and that's not correct. Ein Mizarkin Kisvei Kodesh, part of the honoring of Sfarim, is that we don't throw them. And a fourth item from our discussions to keep in mind is that there's an example over here in the Mishnah that if the scroll rolled out, Hovcho al Haksav, you flip it so that the written part is facing the wall. It's a little bit more respectful. So even if it's a case where we would rule that you're not allowed to scroll it back to you, but you should at least flip it in its same location. Just flip it so that the letters are facing in and not facing out, which is very disrespectful. Asks the Gemara, Umi Shari, are you allowed to do such a thing? V'atanya, Kosvei Svarim, Tefillin, and Mezuzas. People who write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzas, Lo Hitiru Lehen Lahafich Yiriya Al Paneha, they're not allowed to turn it upside down. Elaporis Alo Es HaBeged, but instead they have to cover it with a garment. And the Gemara is forced to answer, Hasam Efsha Hachalo Efsha, over here there's no garment, there's no way I can cover it. So it's better to turn it on its back than to have the words facing out. But what you do see over here is that generally you're not allowed to put a sefer face down with the letters facing the bottom. A sefer, it's open, it's upright, and if you want to cover it, so you cover it with a garment. You find some people in the middle of davening, especially with soft-covered sidurim, they'll turn it upside down and put it down. And it would seem from this Gemara that that is classified as a disrespect for a sefer. A sefer is not put in such a direction. Instead, you put in a place mark, you put something on top of it to hold it in place if you need to, but turning a sefer upside down, turning the ksav, the writing, downwards, we're being told, was only allowed in this unusual case where the scroll is open and there's no choice, so you at least turn it upside down, that's a little better. But normally, to have the writing upside down is considered an act of disrespect. Yashar Koach, have a great day.